can't sleep, trapped in my own mind. Anxiety. Drowning in the darkness, just can't see the light.
Depression.
Doubtful, insecure, can I really do this?
Imposter syndrome.
I'm alone, unloved, just feel invisible.
That's loneliness.
We're not therapists, but we need one.
Hello, and welcome to
We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
The podcast where we have honest and vulnerable conversations about our mental health with one another.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Anthony, and neither of us are therapists.
But we're trying to help ourselves and each other by sharing our experiences and feelings.
In this show, we'll deep dive into topics like anxiety, depression,
self-esteem, trauma, and more.
We'll talk about how they affect us,
how we cope,
and what we've learned along the way.
We're not doing this to bash or blame anyone,
especially our families, who may have contributed to our mental health challenges.
We're doing this to heal and grow,
and hopefully inspire others who can relate and open your mind to your own healing.
We also want to warn you that this show may contain some sensitive and triggering content.
We'll be talking about personal and painful things that happen to us and how they still affect us to this day.
If you're not comfortable with that, or if you feel like you need professional help,
this show may not be for you. But
if you're ready to join us on this journey of self-discovery and self-improvement, we're glad to have you.
We're not experts, but we're honest and we're not alone. Now, let's start the timer. Jay, how do you feel today?
I am actually not bad today.
What do you know about that?
Yeah.
Podcast over.
Yeah. All right. Episode's done. This is a good session. Thanks. Yeah,
great. Great job. No notes, everyone.
I guess my thing was I was really productive for a while, and then I hit a moment at work where I just was like, everything was gone. I didn't want to do anything anymore. So that, I mean, I guess is a thing, but I did have an appointment with my psychiatrist today, and we are switching to a new medication, which I start tomorrow. So I'm actually excited to try Wellbutrin.
Ooh.
So
as a long-term Wellbutrin taker, I can safely say I hope that it does for you what it did for me whenever I first started taking it, because it was a drastic difference.
Yeah, I'm eager for that one. So that one was good. And then, I don't know, kind of since this announcement of Kamala and seeing all the numbers increasing, I don't know what's happened, but it's kind of sparked some hope in me.
I mean, I agree. I haven't really been looking at the numbers, but I did briefly see something pop up somewhere today, maybe yesterday, that looked promising. And I was like, okay, well, I want to be excited. So maybe.
Excuse me. It's just helping reduce a little bit of that impending doom that's been just swallowing us for the past.
Oh my God.
Don't 10 I know years, it feels like. So I don't know. It was a decent boost, and it's just, I got a lot done this weekend. I got a lot done last week. So it was productive. Nice. Felt good. How about good. You? How are you?
I'm good as well. I've actually had a really decent day. It was super slow at work, but I was prepared for that, because as we get close to the end of the month, like, my job becomes just basically like damage control, which there's not usually a lot of damage, so it's just me responding to people instead of proactively doing a whole bunch, which is what I do the rest of the month. But yeah, no, I had a doctor's appointment last week, like a regular doctor's appointment that I was nervous about, and it actually went okay. It went better than I thought it was going to go.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, I have to diet a little bit because I got high cholesterol.
Welcome to the club.
So today I had overnight oats for breakfast, with a little bit of yogurt, non-fat yogurt, with some honey and some berries. And then for lunch, I had a spring mix and spinach salad with garbanzo beans and feta and tomatoes and red onions. And I did put Italian dressing on it. Let's not go too crazy. But yeah, I've been you know, I've got to diet a little bit, which is not too bad for me because I actually enjoy a lot of healthier foods. It's just so many unhealthy foods are so convenient.
They're so easy to obtain and usually so much cheaper because, for example,
easy to make.
Yeah. Tonight I'm sitting there going, well, I have to go run a couple of errands after recording and I may just get some Taco Bell.
Oh my God. Don't you talk to me about Taco Bell. Now my day is bad.
I will tell you, I actually get a lot of their black bean recipes instead of doing any of their meats.
Hmm. That makes sense.
And I like the black bean Crunchwrap Supreme, I think is better. Almost.
I believe it.
Devour it.
Well, because like a lot of times their meat is so high in sodium, and I love sodium.
Sodium's so good until you have blood pressure issues.
It makes the world go around. It makes like food delicious. That's what it's there for. It makes the food taste more like the food.
Our white man seasonings.
Oh, no. I mean, you know, sodium, salt. You got salt, and white people don't use salt. I use salt. Wait a minute. But no, I mean, it's been a good couple of days. Just, you know, it's been a little bit of a roller coaster. I had a little snafu on Sunday where, like, the other pod didn't go up correctly, and it's been bothering me so much lately because I feel like every week there's something that I don't do with it, and I just overlook it somehow. And this last weekend, I was so certain because I went through and I spot checked the parts that I am responsible for to make sure everything looked right. And the problem is that when I went to upload the file to the RSS feed, it defaulted to the previous week's folder, and I didn't look that hard. I just looked for RSS final, which I put at the end of all of the final uploads that go to there, and I double-clicked it, and I said, good job, me. And then the next day, I'm like, hey, it's the same episode as last week. And I was like, oh, I can't do anything right. And I really shat on myself on Sunday. So I was like, I just need to stop shitting on myself because that self-talk can be so, it can just take me away from it so fast. Even whenever I don't mean it seriously at first, like, ooh, it can spiral.
Sorry, you're boring. No, I'm kidding.
I know.
I completely get it. I do that too. I'm trying to get better. Actually, last week was my first actual therapy session with a real therapist that I found and I feel comfortable with. Really like her already.
Yeah. We should talk about that at length. I mean, that's what this whole podcast is about.
Well, Lemmy, I will trigger it now and I'll tell you what you said that triggered me to think that. I feel bad for her because it was an hour session and basically it was just me going, blah, 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 blah. Here's everything, blah, blah, blah. My parents, blah, blah, blah. Oh, my life, blah, blah, blah. And she'd be like, well, what do you think caused that? Oh, well, okay, so here's this. And then I'd go down another, like, here's an explanation of where this probably comes from. I mean, I know I'm very logical with this, but anyways. So I spilled a lot at her. She gave me some homework, which I'm doing. But one of the things that was just kind of a side tangent was how I said I have reduced this a ton, but I would have just huge anxiety at stores.
Ooh.
And I was like, it was because what was happening was I didn't want to be rude. And so I'd be really annoyed when everyone else around me would block an aisle or just not care about what was going on. And I'm this guy over here stressing about making sure that I'm being polite to everyone. Mm-hmm. And she goes, I think what you're doing is forgetting that you're also a human that's allowed space. And so you're focusing so much on being invisible to not interfere with anyone that you're forgetting that you're just a human that also needs space. And that strayed me down this whole path on other things where I'd be like, oh, I am just a human, so I'm gonna fuck up.
But I do it every week. No.
Yeah, but you didn't do it all the time. You're just having a little phase right now. So obviously, it's just a phase that's temporary. You're going to keep having something go wrong, and you're going to recognize, I need to take some additional steps that maybe will help me feel better. And then it's going to correct itself like it always does.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I just, it's... it's that feeling of letting people down, which I hate doing.
Which I understand. I mean, I'm the same way. I'm going to rag on myself for the same exact stuff. And I have to put myself at this high level like I'm doing with you now, or I'm just like, shit's going to happen. It's just, it can't be perfect.
Oh, I can give that leeway to everyone else. That's why I've talked about this with my therapist several times, because, you know, I'll be down on myself or be being hard on myself in therapy, and she'll be like, well, is that how you treat other people? I'm like, oh God, no, that doesn't apply to anybody else. That just applies to me. Yeah. Those expectations, those standards, those are solely mine. Nobody else gets those. Everyone else gets all the bandwidth in the world. Me, no, I have to do all of these things correct. And if I don't, I'm a huge piece of shit, which is not true. Obviously, it just is how my head wants to go, because for a long time that was how I grew up. So like I still have that thought process in my head. But anyways, yeah. So I know I work on it. I'm hard on myself. I know I'm hard on myself.
And so am I, but it's funny because like there'll be some days where I'll just be like, oh yeah, I mean, fuck it. I mess up all the time. Such is life. Nah. You can dislike me for who I am because I'm a mess up. And then the next day, say I got a night of bad sleep or something, and I will rag on myself so hard. I'm just like, why are you so worthless? Why are you so incapable? Why? Like,
God, I know.
Like, I start going, is this bipolar? And I'm like, no, this is not bipolar, right?
I don't think so. But also, again, we talked about like that with mental health last week, where it was just like, it's so hard to tell sometimes what's wrong with you.
Yeah.
And even like mental health professionals still have to sort of guesstimate based off of what you tell them. So like a lot of times your diagnosis ends up aligning with what you think it is, unless you're so glaringly wrong that your mental health professional is like, absolutely not.
Well, and that's what stinks about depression, anxiety, ADHD, bipolar, shit. I think some of that personality disorder stuff, borderline personality disorder, that's it. There's so much overlapping that I could easily scroll through TikTok and be like, well, obviously I have all these ADHD symptoms. I'm convinced it's this. When what if it is depression? What if it is something else? What if it's a combo?
See, that's also what gets me a little bit perturbed is like, I get all these depressive qualities where I know, because I've been in depression before, so I do understand like where that goes. I've been in really deep, deep depressions that make it so hard to function that like getting out of bed is just a fucking effort. But then I have these things where like I have extra things that I want to do, like just throughout the day, whether it be writing, whether it be podcast stuff, just additional things. But they're things that I have put on myself as actual responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And I'll do all kinds of things to avoid them, like going for a hike. I'll just go for a fucking hike. So I feel like I'm not depressed because I'm avoiding it, like, because I'll do something else productive.
Yeah.
That I find like super great for me, because I'm gonna go for a hike. It's great for my health. I need to do it.
Yeah.
But I'm still not doing the thing. I'm still using it as avoidance. It's just healthier avoidance than, you know, sitting around doing nothing.
Actually talking to my psychiatrist today when we were talking about my symptoms still, I told her, I said, you know, there's stuff I've got to do, and it's just sometimes so hard to do it. And then there's stuff I want to do. And sometimes it's just the motivation to get up and do it is not there, even though I want to do it. And she's like, it's wild how, because she's like, I suffer the same thing, actually. And she goes, it's wild how we have to double the work in order to achieve a simple task, because we have to like force ourselves to do things. And she's like, you're missing the dopamine, the standard dopamine that people have to do this. And she's like, and I think that's why this medication benefits you.
Mm. Yep. Yep. Well, and hopefully it helps to get you motivated more easily than it is me. For me, it was like a sort of like a fog lifting. Like I started realizing that I had not been paying very much attention to my surroundings a lot. Like, mm-hmm. I'd just been kind of like going places without looking at things, if that makes sense. Great example. Let's say I'm on my way to work in the morning. You know, I get up, I get around, I get my lunch and stuff packed, and I get out the door. And it's not anything crazy, but like, I'm getting to work at 7 now, so I get to be awake as the sun is coming up. And I'm so glad I'm at a place where I'm at now, because as I'm driving to work, I get to see the sun come up. I get to see the way the light is sort of like piercing through the clouds and the shadows that they cast that give you those nice little rays in the morning. Mm-hmm. It was things like that that I just never noticed for the longest time. I used to notice them all the time growing up and all the time when I was younger, because that's the kind of things that always just struck on to me. I like seeing that stuff. I like being out in nature and seeing nature. And for the longest time, I didn't see any of that. And it wasn't for lack of it existing. It was just, it went completely around me. It passed over my head, whatever you want to call it, because I just never took the time to stop and look. It didn't ever occur to me. And then after I started taking the Wellbutrin, I started noticing that stuff again. And I was like, whoa, colors exist. Like, things are real, and like I can see trees, and I can see leaves, and I can see sunsets and clouds in the sky. All of these things that I couldn't see before, I can now see again. And that was a game changer, because it felt like I was finally more present in my person.
And I'm definitely relatable there. Granted, I always see it. I'm a sucker for nature. I love a beautiful sunrise, beautiful sunset, beautiful storm clouds moving in. I don't know, just literally the looks of a tree, specific flowers. I like all of that stuff. It's just so cool to me that something I know there's science behind it, but it's kind of that thought of, I don't fully understand why it exists in a sense. And I love that. I love that I see all this beauty that I don't really understand the meaning behind why it exists.
And I like that, because I feel very much the same way. It's that mystery, you know? And I understand, again, like, astronomically, I understand it.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
yes.
Have you ever heard that idiom that's like, you are the universe observing itself?
Mm-hmm.
I love that idiom so much, because it's sort of like this. I just like to think of it that way, because you are part of a whole, and it really is interesting to see, like, you're made up of star stuff, and you get to watch star stuff every day, and different versions of star stuff every day.
That's it. This complete stardust has created an atmosphere. Okay, created a universe that is moving throughout space at astronomical speeds, and that has created a specific rock that all of us formed on, and we've been formed, have these minds to think, see, do, and I don't get it. I don't understand all of it behind it and why it happens, and I love that beauty of the ignorance that I have, but I get to witness it all. And I don't know, to see so much of like what we have in this world of hatred and things like that, it drives me bonkers, because I'm like, how on earth can you walk around, look at another pile of stardust and be like, ugh, I don't agree with you? I don't know. It just,
I mean, I can. I do a really great job of it.
I mean, yeah, I guess I can. I do, but I feel like I do it to the stardust that's absolutely worth it.
You worthless pile of stardust.
Yeah, you're the worst dust I've ever seen.
Yeah, I get that though, because it is, there are times that I, that type of thinking helps me to be more empathetic, which is something that I strive to do anyways for my mental health, because lately I haven't been, like, I've had the absolute, like, lack of empathy I've had is absurd, because I just, I have been so hard on every single person, and to a degree, like, I'm starting to feel a little bit more like, okay, don't get me wrong, before I say what I'm about to say, Trump supporters need to fucking look at themselves a lot harder, but I also understand how easy it is to slip into that as a comfortable identity, mm-hmm. to find your place somewhere, because you, when you feel disjointed, when you feel out of place and out of alignment with society and the universe, finding an identity is so big. You hear about it in all kinds of different places. One place that it pops up at a lot is actually with, like, substance abuse, where you find a lot of people are, that's their first experience in social settings with feeling comfortable in social settings. They finally found a place where, you know, maybe they're drinking, maybe they're doing drugs, and they feel comfortable finally with other people. And so that sort of numbness has helped them get rid of the anxiety they would normally have around other people. And it becomes their identity, because they finally feel like they fit in, no matter how much it hurts them, which is, I guess, a really great analogy for Trump supporters.
Yeah. Sorry, I just hiccuped through that.
It's okay.
This is an unfiltered show, so you hear all of our noises.
You're getting the hiccups. That's you're getting everything. But yeah, I mean, going back to that, I think it is important to stop and sort of have that empathy for other people, because while I 100% don't agree with them, I also can see how people can slip into being brainwashed into that, or being, I guess, finding it so comfortable that they don't want to look anywhere else because they're afraid to lose that space within themselves. They're afraid to lose the identity they finally found.
And I think that's where I get torn. I get mad that I'm like, you're so wrapped up in your thought process that you can't see beyond it. But then I'm also really, do I want to say sympathetic or empathetic? I'm not sure yet on this.
A little bit of both.
I know it's, I feel bad that this is the identity and this is the group of people you have to relate yourself with constantly to feel heard and comfortable, instead of being comfortable with yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. I mean, there are way more constructive ways to find an identity, but it's also super easy because we get barraged with news all the time. So it's easy to find yourself finding identity in politics.
But this bounces back to one of our previous episodes where I explained why I understand religion groups. And it's because these people have to find where they feel that they can fit in with their identity. And so all of these groups have found this identity to feel comfortable together.
Mm-hmm.
Because they keep finding people that align with their thought process.
Which I like that you brought that up, because I was thinking about that earlier and I wanted to bring it back to that when we're talking about that sort of awe you feel in experiencing nature, and even though you understand it from a sort of astronomical, like, scientific standpoint, still feeling that inexplicable, like, there's still so much we don't know. So I feel like a lot of people end up turning to religion for it. It's why I don't really identify as an atheist. I identify as, like, a spiritual person, because I feel like there's so much out there that we still don't understand. And I think spirituality is that connection with the universe that you can experience, whether or not there's any sort of supernatural elements to it.
Yeah.
There is something supernatural about the way that your brain interacts with that experience, I guess. The way your brain experiences nature, there is something sort of supernatural there, because it's something that we don't quite understand.
which this was a conversation that threw me off, but I really liked that we had the brief one. It was kind of at the end of my first therapy session. And she goes, are you religious? And I was like, no. And she goes, do you have any belief in life after death? And she was trying to, like, figure out my thought. And I said, right. Well, and so I kind of went through it. I was like, it isn't exactly like this, but it's kind of like that Disney movie Soul. I'm like, I believe that there is something out there that I just don't understand. But I believe that there is a part of me that is connected to that somehow. And I believe that I absolutely can come back later on in another form, that I will not know all that jazz. I just, and it was so funny because at the end of it, she was like, you know, everyone that comes to me that's non-religious explains it that exact way. And I'm like, really? I expected a lot more people to be like, no, it's just, you're done so after this. And I'm like, I feel there has to be some sort of connection I don't understand. There's so much of a universe I don't understand.
And I think that's, I mean, honestly, I think that's a good default way to sort of view it, because even from a scientific standpoint, like, you know, energy can't be created or destroyed. It just is going to exist.
Exactly.
And so something happens to you whenever you die. Whether you exist in a similar way or not, like, there's just I feel what you're saying, and I totally feel very much the same way. I get this, like, I live in this strange juxtaposition of being super jaded and cynical about things, and then also wanting to believe magic exists and constantly challenging the universe to be more interesting.
Yes.
Because there is so much more. But then I have to distill it down to, it's not that I'm jaded about reality. It's that I'm jaded with society a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And whereas the world and the universe and the earth, I'm not jaded about. I can see all of that. And, like, so there is a difference between being jaded with having to deal with all of the trappings of humanity and then also wanting magic to exist in the universe, because there is so much out there that we don't understand.
Well, and that's it. I can feel myself get worn down by people, by thoughts, by news, by all of this stuff, society in general. You take me to Colorado, where I am just out in the mountains, not around people. Ooh. If I get my little cabin, I don't see anyone. I am the most relaxed and happiest I can possibly be. And for a while, I thought, I have to move out here so that way I can feel this all the time. But then I realized that then I'm going to combine my hatred for a lot of society in with the things I love. And I almost want to take that away and separate it so that way I constantly just have this oasis available to me, which is just nature when I need it.
Which is why I do go out and hike, like, relatively often, because it is a really great way for me to get away from people. And what's funny is when I'm on the trail, I like encountering people on the trail, as long as there's not too many of them. But, like, I'm super friendly when I'm on the trail. It's really funny because I'll go hiking with Joe and our friend Will, and they're like, yeah, you have to walk in front because you'll actually say hi and, like, acknowledge people. And I don't like doing that anywhere else. But when I'm out in nature, I feel so connected. I feel so much more grounded.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And that it gives you a better sense of self. And Colorado, absolutely 100% with you. Being in the Rockies, there's just something about it. Being on top of a mountain in the snow and looking out over an expanse of just pine trees and conifers and just, there's something about it. It just makes you feel so centered.
When I was in that cabin with my friends for the wedding, and I would get up early and I would look outside and see the sunrise coming over the tops of the mountains and the trees, while we were still, because we were behind a mountain, we were in the dark for hours longer in the shade, mm-hmm. in the morning shade. But you could see all the, oh, it was so gorgeous just to see that light. And I'm like, this is happiness, even though I don't have enough oxygen and I'm in producing more red blood cells and it's going to show up on my blood work later. This is happiness.
But I think there's something very human about that, because I've been that way since I was a kid. I've always enjoyed being outside and being in nature and being mm-hmm. and exploring. I've always been an explorer. And that's translated into my adulthood as well, where I do like to get out and do those things and search through things. I go hiking, and I went hiking with a buddy of mine the other day, and I swear he was like, "You almost slapped me with a couple of limbs a couple of times." And I was like, "I didn't know I ran into any limbs. I was just so like focused on being outside. I had no idea I was like walking through limbs that were like whipping back and hitting him. I had no idea they were there." Because I was just so caught up in what I was doing.
Yeah. If I could make money without having to involve myself in society, like working a corporate job or something like that, mm-hmm. I would be a hermit so easily.
Oh, I've told several people this, but if it didn't work out with Joe at some point, I'm just going to like quit, sell everything. I'm going to move up to Estes Park, Colorado, and I'm going to become a fry cook and live over someone's garage.
Yeah. I could. I would probably sell everything, go buy a little tiny janky cabin, and hermit my little life up there with my little fat dog.
What a great way to go, though.
Hermit close to you so we can go hiking.
Oh, that'd be perfect. Yeah, I know, like, going up into Rocky Mountain National Park, it's great little hiking trails up there.
Yeah, we'll hermit close together so that way we can still have our separation, but when we want to hang out.
Yeah, I need my space.
And we're out of time. Thank you for joining us today on our show. As you can see, therapy is not always easy, but it can be very rewarding and healing.
If you want to follow our journey and see how we progress, tune in next episode for the continuation of We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
Join us on our socials, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, and Instagram, and email us at nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
That's nopenottherapists @gmail.com.
We would love to hear your thoughts on our journey or any questions you have that we can help answer. Until then,
stay safe.
Mental health is a serious and important issue that affects millions of people around the world.
If you or someone you know is struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, or have any other mental health conditions, you're not alone, and there is help available.
You don't have to suffer in silence or feel ashamed of your feelings.
There are many resources and support networks that can help you cope and heal.
Here are just a few.
The Crisis Text Line, which is a 24/7 service that connects you to trained crisis counselors who can help you with any type of emotional crisis. You can text HOME to 741-741 in the U.S. or Canada, or 85258 in the UK, or 50808 in Ireland. You can also visit crisistextline.org for more information.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is a 24/7 service that provides free and confidential support for people in distress, as well as prevention and crisis resources. You can call them at 1-800-273-8255 or chat online at suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
The Headspace app, which is a meditation and mindfulness app that can help you reduce stress, improve your mood, and enhance your well-being. The app offers guided meditations, breathing exercises, sleep sounds, and other tools that can help you relax and cope with your emotions. You can download the app for free and try it for 10 days or subscribe for unlimited access to all features. You can find the app on the App Store or Google Play, or visit headspace.com for more information.
These are just some of the resources that we have found helpful, but there are many more out there that can suit your needs or preferences. The most important thing is to reach out for help when you need it, and to know that you are not alone. Mental health is not a weakness, but a strength, and taking care of it is one of the best things you can do for yourself and your loved ones. Until next time.